Chris Benoit was a wrestling superstar while his wife Nancy was a pioneering presence in and out of the ring. And everyone agrees that they were deeply in love with each other. And once their son Daniel was born, the couple's happiness seems complete. But what no one knows is that behind closed doors, Chris and Nancy Benoit are in the throes of a nightmare, leading to a horrific tragedy that no one can comprehend. Hello and welcome to The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, author of suspense novels about the dark side of love. And this week I'm putting a spotlight on the case I'm calling The Darkest Hour. Before I dive into this episode, I wanted to give you just a little bit of a heads up, which isn't something that I normally do because this is, after all, a true crime podcast about the dark side of love. So, you know, I'm not talking about lollipops and unicorns. However, some of the details of this particular episode might be a little tough to hear. So just a heads up, this one is kind of a rough one. Christopher Chris Michael Benoit was born in Montreal, Quebec, son of Margaret and Michael Benoit. According to autopsy, the last hours of Chris Benoit, Chris was known to be a quiet kid who was studious and well-liked. When Chris was 12, the family traded Montreal for Edmonton, Alberta, and it was there as a preteen that Chris's unabashed love of wrestling took root when he watched broadcasts of a local sports show called Stampede Wrestling. In particular, he became completely enamored with Tom Dynamite Kid Billington and Bret Hart, member of the legendary Hart family, one of the most, if not the most, celebrated dynasties in the world of wrestling. Watching these two athletes would ignite a dream within Chris, as he set his sights on joining their ranks and becoming a professional wrestler. And by all accounts, Chris focused on nothing else. As his father Mike told ABC's Nightline about his son, quote, he was pretty much driven from the age of 12, 13 to get in the wrestling industry. Chris lifted weights every day. He was 13 years old. He was breaking records in high school in our basement. The hard work and determination eventually pay off when Chris scores an opportunity to train with the founder of Stampede, Hart family patriarch Stu Hart, becoming a student of the renowned Hart family dungeon, which I've seen pictures of it and it really does look like a dungeon. So the dungeon, the Hart family dungeon, it was a gym and wrestling school located in the basement of the family's mansion. The dungeon produced countless luminaries of wrestling, including Stu's own sons, Brett and Owen, and superstars like Chris Jericho, Jesse Ventura, Roddy Piper, superstar Billy Graham, Brian Pillman, and Lance Storm. Chris's dream of being a professional wrestler came true when he entered the sport at the age of 18, making his debut in November of 1985 and winning his match. He was off to the races. Chris racked up numerous championships and accolades during the 4 years he was with Stampede, including 4 international tag team and 3 British Commonwealth titles. Chris stayed with Stampede for 4 years, departing for New Japan Pro Wrestling in 1989 after Stampede closed its doors. He would later spend a year with World Championship Wrestling and then a year with Extreme Championship Wrestling, where he earned his nickname, the Canadian Crippler, or sometimes just the Crippler. As Matthew Randazzo V, author of Ring of Hell, the story of Chris Benoit and the fall of the pro wrestling industry, told Autopsy, as the story goes, Chris was christened, if you will, the Crippler, following a match against fellow wrestler Sabu, the homicidal, genocidal maniac, FYI, where Sabu broke his neck. Although this was not Chris's fault, the promoter seized on the incident to, quote, give him, meaning Chris, a new identity as a sadistic wrestler who intentionally crippled his opponents. Even though the persona didn't quite match Chris's quiet, shy personality out of the ring, the nickname stuck. So Chris was a popular and renowned wrestler, a masterful performer. As former WWE executive Jim Ross told The Dark Side of the Ring, quote, if you're a wrestling fan, how could you not be a fan of Chris Benoit's work. In 1995, Chris returned to WCW, that's World Championship Wrestling, which is how he would cross paths with Nancy Sullivan. Born Nancy Elizabeth Toffolani in Boston, Nancy and her family would eventually migrate to DeLand, Florida, which is about a half hour outside of Orlando. Nancy was introduced to the world of wrestling via her high school sweetheart, Jim Doss. There was not much to do in DeLand, and as the story goes, Jim was a wrestling fan, and he would scoop up Nancy for trips to Orlando to watch the matches on Sunday nights. From their front row seats, Jim and Nancy got swept away by the dramatic, manufactured storylines that are a hallmark of wrestling. As Jim told ESPN, quote, "How would I describe it? Male soap opera. You follow the storylines like you'd watch a soap opera on TV. It builds, and you have to wait till Monday to find out the next chapter." And it was while attending those matches that Nancy would go from spectator to main event. Having dropped out of high school to marry Jim, Nancy was answering phones at a local insurance office when, at a match one night, one of the wrestlers grabbed Jim's chair and chucked it into the crowd. The photographer happened to catch Nancy's shocked expression at that moment, and from then on, her life was never the same. She was chosen to appear on the cover of the pro wrestling magazine Wrestling All-Stars, which led to her meeting wrestler Kevin Sullivan and joining his entourage. Suddenly, the insurance receptionist had a new persona. Kevin dubbed her Fallen Angel, complete with chains and leather, and it wasn't long before she entered the ring herself, crisscrossing the country as a pro wrestler, competing in championship matches and promotional tours, raking in the cash, and living a life of glamour beyond her wildest dreams. Predictably, this glamorous new life took a toll on her marriage, and Jim and Nancy divorced, making way for her to eventually marry Kevin. Over the years, Nancy took on a wide variety of roles, from diva to valet to manager, becoming one of the most popular and respected women in the male-dominated world of wrestling. Part of her lasting legacy would be through the creation of a character simply called Woman. Woman was a major player in some of the most successful storylines in wrestling. Nancy would also go on to manage the duo of Butch Reed and Ron Simmons, known as Doom, and she later formed an alliance with Ric Flair. So while Nancy did compete in the ring, you know, she wasn't China, she wasn't a Beth Phoenix or a Nikki Bella, you know, but she was considered a pioneer in the industry. She was known for her creativity, her tenacity, and for successfully managing these acts. So we have to give props to Nancy, because I can't imagine that was easy, but she did it, and she did it phenomenally. So while things were going great for Nancy in her career, her personal life was suffering. As ESPN reported, by the mid-90s, Kevin and Nancy's marriage was crumbling. It was also around this time that Kevin and Chris got into some kind of feud. And I guess because art is pain and pain is art, to take out his frustrations on Nancy and Chris, Kevin cooked up a bizarre storyline to be played out in front of wrestling's rabid fan base. I admit, I don't all the way understand all of this. I'm not a wrestling person, but let's just roll with this. Okay, so for some context, we all know that wrestling, it's meant to be entertainment. And part of that entertainment is these storylines, these mini dramas meant to play to the crowd. As Nancy's ex-husband Jim Doss said, they were soap operas. Now, I do know soap opera. I grew up watching soap operas, so that I get, that I understand. But these storylines, the technical term for them is kayfabe, which means a staged performance that's presented as real. So Kevin devised this kayfabe or story in which Chris and Nancy were having an affair. So in other words, the Canadian Crippler and Woman were portrayed as banging the gong. And to really make this look legit, to really feed into the kayfabe, Chris and Nancy were forced to snuggle up to each other in public by holding hands, traveling together, sharing hotel rooms. There was even a video that was shown at a WCW match of Chris and Nancy in a home movie, cuddling up together in a kitchen, while they were taunting Kevin. So Nancy was saying things like, quote, I'm my own woman and you can't find me, with Chris chiming in saying, quote, you consider yourself the master of human chess. Well, my bishop just took your queen. So just really like playground kind of stuff, right? But people love this. They're eating it up. And what it was meant to be was something that set the stage for an all-out battle between Chris and Kevin, which, of course, thousands of paying fans would lap up like milk. They would really get into this, like a soap opera. Well, it turns out that the joke was on Kevin, because Chris and Nancy started to have an affair for real, like legit. And so the joke within wrestling circles was that Kevin, who in addition to wrestling matches, he was also a booker, booked matches, that he booked his own divorce. Ha ha. Eventually, Nancy left Kevin for Chris. And as ESPN reported, the pair seemed like an odd match because Chris was someone who was quiet. He kept to himself. He was a workhorse, known to be one of the most technically proficient wrestlers in the game. While Nancy was known to be, quote, the headstrong, career-savvy manager. But you know, hey, as the saying goes, the heart sometimes just wants what it wants. Wrestler Vicky Guerrero, who was good friends with Nancy, told Dark Side of the Ring that, quote, Chris was her safe haven. Because as it turns out, there was domestic violence in her relationship with Kevin as she was seen with a black eye, and Chris became someone that she could turn to. Chris and Kevin, as it turns out, did come to blows for real, with Chris breaking Kevin's eardrum. Ouch. Nancy's sister, Sandra Toffolani, told Dark Side of the Ring that Chris helped her sister and called him, quote, a nice person. He had my admiration. Going on to say about her sister's feelings towards Chris that, quote, she was in love, more than I'd ever seen her in my life. So once Chris and Nancy fell in love, the woman character disappeared. And she seemed, Nancy seemed, to fade from the spotlight. Someone who had been so prominent in the industry seemed, she just kind of disappeared a little bit. Her appearances became relegated to being merely a spectator at Chris's matches. So no more kayfabe, no woman character. Nancy's turning over a new leaf. And she wants to start a family as part of that new leaf. And her dream came true in 2000 when her and Chris's son, Daniel, was born. She and Chris married later that year in November, and in addition to taking care of Daniel, Nancy turned her attention towards managing her husband's career. Chris and Nancy seem to have it all. They've got a sprawling mansion just outside of Atlanta, an adorable little boy. Chris has become world heavyweight wrestling champion in 2004, but he is feeling as though he's hit a ceiling with WCW, and he leaves for WWF, which is World Wrestling Federation. I know, it's a lot. It's confusing. but by all accounts, once he went to WWF, he blossoms. And part of that is having teamed with fellow wrestler Eddie Guerrero for a spate of successful matches. So things seem to be going great for the Benoits, but they weren't. Because beneath the surface, there were problems. For one, Chris traveled incessantly, and although he was considered to be a devoted father to both Daniel and his other son, David, Chris Jericho said in the Dark Side of the Ring, quote, Chris was always very much a great father, was very much about his family. His kids were always high on his list. But if you're on the road 300 days a year, I mean, that's gonna take a toll on your personal life. And also taking its toll is the ring. Chris injured his neck during the 2000-2001 season and required surgery. And even then, when he should have been home recuperating, he had a compulsion to be back on the road and get back in the ring. So all of these stressors are really causing problems with him and Nancy. And over the next few years, things really do begin to deteriorate between the Benoits, with Matthew Randazzo V telling Autopsy that, quote, Chris became much more controlling. He restricted her travel, became really insecure and nervous about conversations with her friends. Chris also exhibits unpredictable mood swings and even starts to become violent towards Nancy. Finally, in May of 2003, Nancy's had enough and she files for divorce, calling the marriage, quote, irrevocably broken and citing, quote, cruel treatment. She also obtains a restraining order. However, she had a change of heart. She took Chris back that August and dropped the restraining order, determined, it seemed, to work on repairing their troubled marriage. But then, in 2005, a body blow that nobody will see coming will be one of the factors that unleashes a horrific chain of events for the Benoit family. So Eddie Guerrero, who Chris had teamed with, he and Chris were best friends. Though, as sports writer Greg Oliver noted to Autopsy, Eddie and Chris were more like soulmates, brothers. Professionally and personally, these two were simpatico. However, in November of 2005, Eddie died of acute heart failure at the age of 38. As Greg Oliver tells Autopsy, everyone, of course, was devastated by Eddie's shocking death, but Chris, quote, especially, was really crushed. Matthew Randazzo V observed to Autopsy, quote, the death of Eddie Guerrero was the most traumatic event in Chris Benoit's life. And indeed, pretty much everyone agrees that this singular event would send Chris hurtling down into a deep, dark spiral that he could not seem to pull himself out of. And really, it is the beginning of the end for him. It's just that nobody knew it. Tune in next week for part two on The Dark Side of Love, where Chris Benoit's grief continues to consume him, leading him to commit horrific acts against his family. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, and show your love for The Dark Side of Love by visiting thedarksideoflove.com for show notes and transcripts. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to be notified about new episodes, and you can also find a link to my Patreon page where you can access bonus material and other fun stuff. Learn more about my suspense novels about the dark side of love by visiting biancasloan.com. Thanks for hanging out with me, and join me next time for another tale of love gone wrong. I'll see you on the dark side. Thank you.